Take your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. John 3:16, very familiar verse, I know. And then also I'll give you time to keep your finger there and turn to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 will be our text verse, but I feel it was necessary to read John 3:16 as well. John 3:16 and then Romans 5:8. Just by way of introduction a little bit here, The message this morning is a demonstration of God's love. I had a lot of time to think this week. Of course, being away and kind of getting away from things a little bit, you have a time to reflect. And I did some things with this message a little differently throughout the week. I mean, I was writing some of these notes that I have are handwritten. That's not a good thing, all right? So I'm hoping, you know, just a lot of different things I did here. But this morning, I'm going to speak on the demonstration of God's love. We'll find that out of Romans 5:8 in just a moment. But let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read John 3:16 first, very familiar verse. These both are very familiar passages. And we'll turn to a few other verses along the way, perhaps this morning. But John 3:16, and we'll read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful, wonderful verse there. Now turn to Romans 5:8. This is our text verse this morning, and we will read that together. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you, Lord, for regardless of who we are, what we've done, where we've been, what position we hold, how much money we have in an account, what kind of car we drive, what kind of house we live in, you love us irregardless. We thank you for that. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd meet with us this morning. I pray, God, again, that you'd wrap us up with your love today. Maybe there's someone here today who just needs to be reminded. And this will be much of a sermon that is a reminder to many. But to a few, some of us need this. To all of us, perhaps, we all need this reminder. I pray, God, that we'll just be reminded of how much you loved us. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Love. The key word to both of them verses, John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, is that word love. It's been said that love is an emotion that you give to others, but expect nothing in return. It can be. Now, you talk about a marital love. Now, Lord willing, you get into that marital relationship and going through the proper channels, dating, getting to know each other, different things. You build a love, and your love is given back. You give love to each other. But the kind of love, one of the kind of loves that God teaches us, if you will, is a love that's unconditional. It's a love that if you love me, or if I love you and you don't love me, that does not mean that I will stop loving. For instance, you know, God, irregardless of what this world may think, and by the way, today, much of the world, if you will, is a hater of God, really. They don't acknowledge God as we should, and here we are, we have all the freedoms in this world, and by the way, that's by the grace of God, amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, much of this world today, they don't love God as they should. And there are even people, and believe me, I've been out door knocking and meeting people that say, I don't like God, I don't love God, and boy, that's a very dangerous position. But the truth of the matter is, irregardless of what people may think of God, that doesn't mean that he will not love them. Because the Bible says, as we read just a few moments ago in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So that in that world, if you will, in the world, you know, every single person, whether they have a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ or whether they don't love him at all, God promises that he so loved you. He so loved the world. The haters that despise God, the atheists, if you will, that despise God, God loves them. The rapists, the murderers, doesn't matter who they are, where they came from, Jesus died for all sin. God so loved you. And it doesn't matter. So love can be an emotion that when you give to others, you can. Sometimes you expect nothing in return. You know what? That does not mean because if someone wants to be critical or someone doesn't love me or like me, that's fine. That does not stop me from loving them. You know, the Bible, all through the Bible, of course, our memory verse for the month is John 13:35, talks about loving one another. Loving one another. All through the Bible, some 200, I think almost 200 times, you'll find that little phrase, love one another, love one another. Here we are in February. It's the love month. That's what the people call it. Wrapped inside that month, if you will, is Valentine's Day. Hint, hint, husbands, amen? Today's Valentine's Day, okay, just to let you know. And I'm, you know, some may like it, some may not. I'm not opposed to it. I love, every day's Valentine's Day in my house. I love my wife, and I got to go ahead and give her some flowers and praise the Lord for that. And I think it's great to be able to recognize that, recognize the love of my life, recognize the love for my children, and recognize the love for my parents. It's a time to recognize them. You know, every single day we ought to do that. It ought to be Valentine's Day every day, if you will. But this month is known as Valentine's Day. We had a little celebration last night of getting couples and people together, if you will. And it was a time of fellowship and a time to express love, if you will, to one another. All that being said, our text we read has to do with one who has demonstrated love unconditionally. Actually, it's a love that Christians, we need to learn. That's the kind of love that God how God loves us. You know, God doesn't expect anything in return. Now, He desires you to go ahead and love on Him. He desires us, the world, if you will, that He so loves, to go ahead and love on Him and love Him and get to know His Son and become saved and get saved, if you will. He desires that. But you know what? How often we Christians, we need to learn this unconditional love. Not a love with conditions. Not a love, if you do this, I will do that. That's not love. I'm talking about an unconditional love. I'm talking about a love whether things are always right or things are always sure, or whether someone may go ahead and criticize you or say things. You love anyways because it's the right thing to do. We are to love one another. It's the kind of love that Jesus portrayed in His ministry and on that cross. You know, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world to set him free. But you know what? Because of His love for you and the love of His Father, He says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to finish this job. And He did. It's a kind of love, it's an unconditional love that He portrayed in His ministry. It's an unconditional love that God portrays when He gave His only Son for you and me. God was going to send His Son, as I mentioned before, whether you accept Him or not, for there is someone who wants His love that Jesus portrayed. There's still somebody, I believe, and I know it, because when I go out door knocking, I have the privilege on a regular basis to lead somebody to Jesus Christ and show them the love of God, if you will, because there's somebody that wants it. But irregardless of whether one wants to love God or not, He still loves you. He still loves you. He loves you so much. There's nothing we can do to separate His love from us. There's no conditions. It's just pure love. In Romans 8:35, the Bible says, I'm going to read a few verses here. If you want to turn to it, you may. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God this morning that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God. There's no trial. There's no heartache. There's no pain. There's no broken relationship. There's no nothing that can separate. Death cannot separate me from the love of God. I thank God there's nothing that separates me from His love. As we get further in this message, I believe one of the greatest truths we can find in the Word of God from the book of Genesis to Revelation is the fact that God loves you. And you will find that display of His love all through His book. We're going to talk about, boy, that's why it's so important to get in His book. Boy, it's good to learn how to love as God loves. You know, if we would learn to love as God loves, much of the strife in our homes, much of the strife in our relationships would cease. Think about that. If we would learn to love unconditionally as God loves us, and we ought to. He's our great example. If we would learn to so love as God loves us, you know what? Much of the problems you have in your marriage would be ceased. Much of the problems you may have in church would be ceased. Much of the problems you may have in the workplace or in your home would be ceased, would be solved if we would learn to love. So this morning, I pray that this will be a help to you and an encouragement. I hope it will be a reminder to you. And it's going to be a reminder in many ways, a demonstration of God's love. I'm going to give several ways, probably at least five ways, as many, many ways of how God's demonstrated his love to us. And I know I'm just going to go ahead and just scratch the surface this morning. But number one, God has demonstrated his love to us by giving us eternal life. I know that's a reminder. To many of us, that's a reminder, but maybe to someone here today, it's not. You know, God has demonstrated his love by giving us eternal life. As we read a while ago in our text, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth literally means demonstrated. He demonstrated his love to us by sending his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. That's love. There's no greater love than that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, anybody, okay, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved. The ultimate demonstration of the fact that God loves us is not shown just through his creation, though that's wonderful. Boy, I love the four seasons, amen? I love the beauty of the colors in the fall. I love even for a little while, anyways, the snow and the winter coming down, and I love the springtime and the warmth, if you will, and the trees budding and life coming back into the trees and the grass and the fields, if you will, and I love the other one, winter, summer, fall, and winter. I love all the seasons, amen, and fall and spring are two of my favorite seasons, but, you know, every time I look at them, that pretty foliage, I take that personally. I take that as a note from God saying, Sean, I love you. I take the warm weather as the spring comes in here in just a few weeks and the snow starts melting and so forth. I take as I see the trees starting to bud and the grass beginning to green a little bit and so forth and the flowers begin to bloom. I love that. And I take that as a note from God saying, Sean, I love you. I love the wintertime. Like I said, after a little while, it's good to have all the snow go, amen? But you know, them beautiful mornings when it's coming down and you look around and the trees are full of snow and hanging on the branches, if you will. You know, how beautiful a sight, how picturesque that is. You know, I take that as a note from God saying, Sean, I love you. Summertime, the warmth, the summer breezes, and the joys of picnics and different things and activities that you can be partake of, if you will, in the summertime. I take that as a note from God saying, Sean, I love you. His creation, the birds singing, the blue sky, the rain, the thunder, everything that he's done. I take that as a note, as God saying to me, Sean, I love you. But it's not just shown through his creation, but the fact that he sent his only son to pay for my sin debt, that's love. The fact that he loved me so much, he loved you so much, for God so loved the world that he was willing to send his only son, Jesus. What a great demonstration of love that is. Jesus took on that cross what we all deserve. We all deserved hell. We all deserved fire and brimstone, as the Bible teaches. But Jesus, he took all of our sin debt on that cross one time. And I thank God for his love. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you experienced the love of God this morning? Do you know of his love this morning? Let me just say this. He wants to save you. It doesn't matter where you are this morning. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. He wants to save you. Just how detailed did God demonstrate his love to us? Let's talk about it a little bit. It all started when a miraculous birth would take place in a town called Bethlehem. Jesus taken off his rightful place there at the right hand of God to be born of a virgin Mary in a stable. Then later on in life, at 12 years old, he was found in the temple, and he was forgotten about literally at the Feast of Passover. There, Luke chapter 2, at the end of Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph begins to wonder where he's at and so forth, and they find him in the temple going about doing his father's business. I believe at that time, God the Father revealed to him, Son, this is why you were born so unique. This is why you are a unique man or a unique child, if you will. This is why it is this way. And I believe at that time, he realized realize why he was there. As a 12-year-old boy, his daddy, heavenly daddy, was doing some holy business with him. And I think at that time, it was revealed to him as to what was going to take place 33 years of age. Jesus, 33 and a half years, would walk this earth and have an earthly ministry and go to a cruel cross for all of mankind. God's demonstrating his love to us. Then Jesus would be tried unjustly. A prisoner, Barabbas, would be released. He's the one that deserved the cross, but Jesus be tried unjustly. The crowds would go ahead and mock him and yell out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And God demonstrated his love by allowing his only son to take a crown of thorns on his head. God demonstrated his love by allowing his only son to take a cat of nine tails across his back. You couldn't even tell he was a man. You couldn't even tell that he looked like a man after the soldiers were done beating him. God demonstrated his love by allowing his only son to be spat on for us. God demonstrated his love by allowing his only son to be beaten badly. Why? Because he's in process taking all the sins of all the world. God demonstrated his love by allowing him to be cursed and forced to carry that heavy cross up Calvary. God demonstrated his love by sending his son to take the nails in his hands. Can you hear the banging of the nails in his hands and the feet? Just picture it a little bit. I'm not trying to be grotesque, but this is what Jesus did for you. That's how much he loves you. And on that cross, cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that time, I believe, God had turned his back on his own son. Because Jesus was literally dipping his soul into hell for our sin. Boy, if that's not love, I don't know what it is. My friend, listen to me. Oh, how he loves you. This morning, you know what he demonstrated? God demonstrated his love to you by sending his only son, Jesus, to die for you. There's no other way, by the way. Others will tell you, you got to work, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to get baptized, you got to take communion, all that. Listen to me. That comes after salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. He's the way. If there was many ways out there, Jesus would have said, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life, if you will. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. My friend, God loves you this morning. Have you been saved? Have you experienced his love this morning through salvation? My friend, you can be saved this morning. If you're here today and you're empty this morning, you don't know for sure if you're to die today. But I encourage you, before you leave the church doors this morning, someone will show you from the precious word of God, not a Baptist way, not a Catholic way, not a preacher's way, or a rabbi's way, or a minister's way, or a deacon's way, but show you God's way, how you can know you have eternal life. If you're here this morning, you've not experienced God's love through salvation, I encourage you this morning, after a little while, walk down the aisle and open your heart to Jesus. Realize you're a sinner. Realize there's a price on sin. The Bible says that price is hell, but Jesus, he paid that price. God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love by giving us eternal life. What a precious gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift. You know, when someone gives you a gift, they don't ever take it away. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a gift, would it? You know, if you were to go ahead and give me a $10 bill and say, hey, pastor, you know, here's a $10 bill. It's a gift. I want you to go out and wash my car. That wasn't a gift. Then I'm doing something for it. But the truth of the matter is, a gift is something that you give and you expect nothing back. And you know what? Jesus will give you that gift of eternal life. You know what? And people say, well, you must, after you get saved, you're perfect. No. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm still wrapped up in the old flesh. Sometimes the old devil likes to pick and, you know, get me off a little bit and so forth. But that's where confession comes in. I don't have to go to some little booth and so forth. I just get to get on my knees to a holy God and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Amen. You know what? God, and because you may still sin, because you're wrapped up in flesh, you may still make mistakes, and you will still make mistakes, I should say, after salvation. is still a gift. God will never take it back. You're placed in the palm of Jesus' hand. Nobody can take that gift of salvation away from you. Hey, God demonstrated his love by giving you eternal life. God demonstrated his love by giving us and preserving for us an everlasting book. I hold my hand, the only perfect thing known to man. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, we have a forever book right here in the King James Bible. We have it right here. God breathed this book for us to go ahead and live and for us to go ahead and be sustained, for us to go ahead and get strength. You know what? This is my love letter from God to me. Boy, that's why we ought to get into it. You know what? It's been preserved. It's forever settled. Jesus, in Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to have an every word book. We have to have an every word Bible. And he promised that he would go ahead and preserve it. He promised that he would go ahead and inspire. And we have it right here in our hands this morning. Do you read the Bible? You know what? When the devil was on the mount with him, when Satan was on the mount, you know, Jesus had fasted for 40 days physically. He was weak. And the devil thought, wow, this is prime time. It's prime time. And he went after the Savior, and he went ahead and tempted him 3 times on the mount. But Jesus, you know what he did? He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture. And you know what? Eventually, the Bible says, Matthew 4, I don't have time to turn to it now. Eventually, you know, the devil left. You know what? You know what? You want to go ahead and stand strong against the adversity of the devil. You want to stand strong against sin and so forth. This will help you right here. Thy word, the Bible says, Psalm 119, thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This book right here will not cause you to be sinless. But two words, it will help you to sin less. If you go ahead and you hide your heart in this book. If you memorize the word of God, it will help you to go ahead in your walk of life. You know, it'll give you strength. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We all have, as we've been talking about so much, a race that we need to run. But each and every day, as I've been teaching and preaching for so long now, you got to go ahead and get in the book. You're going to go ahead and have strength through the hard days. You're going to have strength through the good days. You're going to be sustained through the hard days. You want to be spoken to, and you want to be blessed, and you want to be encouraged, and you want God to demonstrate some love. Hey, you got to get in the book. And you know what? Each and every day, that path, that race that you have to run, it's a lamp under your feet. You know, it's like a lamp when you have a flashlight ahead of you. Hey, you know, it shines ahead of you. You know, in the dark valley, you got to open up the book and let it be a lamp so that you don't stumble and fall. That's why this book is so important. Hey, he demonstrated his love by giving you a love letter, the word of God. I thank God for that. He's preserved his book forever, inspired by God himself so that we can survive spiritually. You know, I've counseled many people through the years as a preacher. You know, many who have fallen into deep sin, good people, they've been saved. But you know what? How often they tell me the point when they messed up. You know when it is? It's when they put the book down. It's when they put the book down. And once they started putting down the book, once they started kind of putting aside the prayer life, and then they started putting aside church, and they, the ministry, maybe their ministry, and then maybe church and different things like that. You know what? How often I've had people in my office here, in my office back when I was working at a church in Maine and so forth. How often when I counsel teenagers, even some adults and some couples and so forth, when things got bad, when things messed up in their life, it started by putting down the book. It started by shutting off the lamp, not opening it each and every day. You cannot be an effective Christian unless you have a relationship with a book. You know, is an acrostic, I think they call it the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Right here. The B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know what? You want some basic instruction today, get in the book. You want some basic instruction from the Word of God tomorrow? From God tomorrow, get in the book. You want some basic instruction next week? You got to get in the book. You cannot be effective unless you have a relationship with this book. God's demonstrated his love by giving us a book. I must hurry. Number three, God has demonstrated his love by giving us eternal comfort. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5b, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. That's a promise. You may be in the darkest valley this morning. Someone may be here, you've gone through some financial struggles, you've gone through maybe some illness, maybe you are in some illness, maybe you lost a loved one. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And the truth of the matter is, you know what, there's a promise right there, Hebrews 13:5b, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's a promise. You may be hurting this morning, you know what, he'll give you eternal comfort starting now. And you know what? On this earth, all through your journey, all through your race, on this earth, he'll give you eternal comfort each and every day. And guess what? When you die, that eternal comfort keeps on going on because you're with him forever. And he'll wrap you up in his arms, and you'll be safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? God demonstrated his love by giving you eternal comfort. When you feel lonely this morning, he'll comfort you. When you feel sad this morning, he'll comfort you. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually this morning, he can go ahead and comfort you. I remember Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I think I'll turn to it here in a moment. Joshua chapter 1. I love Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and I study a lot about him. I get encouragement from this man. He was the one that succeeded Moses, that great leader, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Joshua, now it's his turn. The Bible says in Joshua 1, now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, unto even the children of Israel. In other words, God was saying, okay, Joshua, it's time. You've been honed for this. You've been trained for this. You've been serving, at the coattails, if you will, of Moses. Moses has given you some tools, if you will, for this endeavor, for this task. Okay, you know what? The morning is done for Moses. Joshua, arise. Get over this Jordan. As you read on, the Bible says, you know, Joshua. I think he's a little insecure about some things. I think he's a little bit concerned about some things. Yeah, let me read on here a little bit. Every place in verse number 3 that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under this great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God's instructing him here. Okay, you know what? The promised land is yours. You know, you got to go after it. You're the man to lead my people. I promised them victory. I promised them the promised land. Okay, Moses, Joshua, we got to rise. We got to get over this battle. Get over Jordan, if you will. And it's time to take the bull by the horns. You've been trained. And same as I was with Moses, guess what? I'm going to be with you. I can just see, you know, just reading this in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Why? You know, I got thinking, why would God say to him in verse number 6 and 7, twice, be strong and of good courage? To me, that tells me that maybe Joshua, and I've been there as a leader, that maybe Joshua was a little apprehensive. You know, he's seen the murmurings. He's seen the complainings. He's seen so much under Moses. And now, you know, even though he knew it was his time, I kind of can't help but think that maybe he was a little discomforted a little bit. But you know what? As God says right here, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest obtain to do all, to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Here it is again, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hey, Joshua, I want you to understand, God says, everything's going to be okay. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not a respecter of persons. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, you got a little apprehensive. You might be a little bit afraid. You might be a little bit discomforted here, but you know what? God was saying to Joshua, hey, you know what? I'm going to offer you comfort. And just as he says to us this morning, you might be hurt and some pain this morning. You might be going through some things this morning. But let me just say, you know, as he did to Joshua, he says, you know what? I'm with you whithersoever thou goest. I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. God demonstrated his love, number four, by chastening us when we do wrong. You ask, really? Yeah. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, turn to it if you like, Hebrews chapter 12, some people, boy, we kind of sometimes have a hard time with chastening. But God demonstrated his love by chastening us when we do wrong. The Bible says in verse number, let me just start with Hebrews 12. I'll start with verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. Here's a command now. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know what? You know how I know God loves me? When I get out of whack, he chastises me. He chastens me. He gets the spiritual rod out, if you will, and gives me a whooping. He said, what's a whooping? Well, I used to have a few of them only when I was a kid by my dad. Not very many. I think if you asked him, he'd tell you it was only maybe once or twice. Anyways, we'll move right along from that. But you know, the truth of the matter is, listen to me. You know, I love my children. Okay, and it teaches right here, you know, as a father, when a son does wrong, does he not go ahead and chasten their son, their child? Sure. I love my children. When they do wrong, and you know what? I go ahead and I discipline them. I chasten them, if you will. And why do I do that? Because I want them to learn how to do right and so forth. And you know, how often, whenever I have had to go ahead and chasten my children, they go to their room. And I try not to do with them as used to be done to me. It seems like whenever them few times that I would have to be chastened, again, I better say a lot of times now. I better go ahead and get it right. A lot of times when I was a kid and I was chastened, my mom would say, go to your room. I was the kind of guy, I said, okay, go to my room, okay. And your father's going to be up when he gets home. Well, that's 4 hours. You know, I was the kind of guy, I mean, if you're gonna do it and let's get it over with. Finally, my dad comes in. Son, I'm doing this because I love you. Really? Really? You know, in tears. But the truth of the matter is how much I know that now. You know what? When I did wrong, you know what? Why did he chasten me? Why did he get out, as the scripture says, a rod of correction? It was to go ahead and teach me to do right. It's go ahead and teach me not to break the rules. And yet, I know he did it out of love. And you know what? It's the same with spiritual, with a spiritual application here. Same spiritually. When we get out of whack, you know what? God sometimes has to send some things our way. Sometimes he'll get that spiritual rod out. And it's because he loves you. And you know, sometimes we need a spanking, a spiritual spanking, if you will, from God. And I'm glad that he chastens me because it indicates to me that I'm his child. The Bible says that if we go without it. The Bible says right here, let me just read what the Word of God says. If you endure chastening, God deals with you sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We just talked about that. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You know what? When God says, Sean, you're out of whack, you're out of line, you're off track here, and he does some things to go ahead and get me on track, you know what? I know that he loves me. I know that he's chastened me because of his love for me. I'm his child. If we endure chastening, if we live in sin and we endure chastening, then it might be a good thing to check out. Check out your salvation. Make sure. You cannot get by with sin and get away with it. Your sin will find you out. And then number five, he's demonstrated his love by his desire and longing to be with you. I got thinking about that. You know, God created us for his glory. That's why. He desires to fellowship with you. He desires and he longs to be with you. In Genesis chapter 3, I won't turn to it, but you know the story there of the fall of man. The Bible teaches there in Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis there, that in the cool of the day, God met with Adam and Eve. In the cool of the day, that tells me that there was a devotion time, there was a fellowship time, they met together. What a special relationship at that time. They met face to face and so forth. It was before sin and all this and so on, but they met face to face. I don't know whether there's a little park bench there in Garden of Eden, I don't know where, but there was a place that they met. There was a place where they had fellowship. And then God showed up one day, the cool of the day, the morning, same time, probably same station, same place. Of course, he doesn't have a watch, but he says, where's Adam and Eve? They're normally here. And he goes ahead and yells out, Adam, where art thou? You can read the story later on. And of course, God knew. Adam and Eve were hiding because of their sin. They were deceived, and they took of the fruit, if you will, and because of that, that's where sin came from. And the truth of the matter is that broke that special relationship. That broke a special relationship that they had with God. You know, if there was ever any tears, if God probably shed any tears, boy, that would be a good moment for him to do it, because I believe so badly that he longed to be with his creation. And let's put it in perspective here today. God so desires to be with you. He loves you. And he wants to talk with you. He wants, you know, the Bible talks about your prayer closet. In that prayer closet, it ought to be just you and him. Ought to be a time you shut off everything and shut off the TV and shut off the cell phones and shut everything down where it's just you and God. And he longs to be with you. Just as that one time, that one day, because sin entered into the earth that time when they took that fruit, Adam and Eve left God hanging. They weren't there when he showed up. Now, in the prayer closet that Matthew chapter 6 says, that place where you may have had that relationship, that special time with him. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you got to that place? When was the last time that you entered into that closet? Let me ask you a question. Is God hanging this morning, literally? Is God saying, I want to spend time with you? He's a jealous God. The Bible says, I want to spend time with you. I long to be with you. And he so longs to be with you. And I think one way that he demonstrates his love to me is that he desires and he longs to be with Sean Weeks. He desires for me to enter that time and just have a little talk with him and have a walk with him and open up the precious word of God that he has reserved for us. He desires that time with us. But I ask you a question. When was the last time you've been with him? When was the last time you spent some precious time with him? Are you hiding on him this morning? Let me tell you something. You can run, but you can't hide on God. He knows right where you are. You can run. Maybe there's some sin in your life, Christian, and you know there's some things that the Holy Spirit's poking at you, and he's saying, and God's trying to cut it away from you and so forth, and because of that sin, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is, and the Holy Spirit's revealing it to you, and that fellowship has been broken because of sin. And that's why we won't enter the closet. That's why we won't get into the precious Word of God. That's why we won't bend a knee and bow a knee to a holy, all magnificent God who loves you and saved you, who sent his only son, Jesus, who loves you. Because maybe there's something in our life that's obstructing that fellowship. May I ask, what is it? You know. And I encourage you later on, won't you go ahead and renew that sweet fellowship? Not renew your Christianity, not your salvation. If you've been saved, God can't take that. We talked about that. But you know what? Fellowship can be broken because of sin. And let me ask you a question. There's something. As sin entered into that garden, that sweet fellowship between Adam and Eve and God was broken. Later on, of course, they reconcile with the blood of the lamb and different things like that. But the truth of the matter is, let me ask you a question, is that sweet fellowship, Christian, that you once had with God, has it been cut off? By the way, God hasn't moved. You know who does the moving away? It's us. The songwriter wrote, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Do you have that sweet fellowship flowing between you and God this morning? When was the last time that you told God, I love you? Oh, God knows. Yeah. But when was the last time you just told him, God, I love you? The actions show, God, I love you. The places that you go show, God, I love you. Do your lips say, God, I love you? When was the last time you told him? My wife likes me to demonstrate my love to her in many different ways. I bought her a bouquet of flowers saying, I hope it's an action that says, I love you. I like telling my wife, I love you. Just as much as I know and I hope she likes me portraying and saying, I love you, how much she likes it, I wonder how much more God loves it. I wonder how much more God desires to hear them three words. It's Valentine's Day, and I'm sure most all of us got up and we did something Valentine-y for your sweetheart. That's wonderful. But let me ask you a question. And I might add, you probably have told maybe your sweetheart maybe several times today, I love you, I love you, I love you, and that's great and wonderful. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time? Here it is, a day called Valentine's Day. Did you say to God, I love you? Boy, he longs to hear from you. He longs to have that sweet fellowship. How can you demonstrate it? By telling others about him. Your actions speak very loud, louder than words. You know, allow your actions to go ahead and be the kind of Christian, do the things that you ought to do. Tell others about him by Christian service and by telling him, I love you. Does he know? Christian, let me ask you a question. Does he know? Does he know? Does he know by your actions, by your words, by your dedication, God, I love you? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. By the way, no greater love than that. That whosoever means anybody, believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, and you don't know that the biggest demonstration of love that any man could know. That's God's love through his son Jesus on that cross to give you salvation. If you don't know that this morning, I plead with you, I urge you this morning, before you leave, won't you come to know Jesus as Savior? Later on, someone will show you from the Word of God how you can know 100% sure you're saved. Christian, if you're here today and it's been a while, you know, and by the way, it's nothing weird to say I love you to God. It's not weird. It shouldn't be. Nothing wrong with driving down the street, keeping your eyes open, amen, just saying, God, I love you. I love you. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I thank you for health. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, God. Maybe you're here today, Christian, and it's been a while since you told him. Maybe some of your actions are not what they ought to be. People see it, scratch your head, they're a Christian. Maybe it's because some actions do not portray your love for God. A young apprentice ran to his mentor scientist. The scientist he sat at the coattails of for many years. The old scientist was laying on his deathbed. The young apprentice asked him, Sir, can you hear me? What was the greatest discovery that you ever made? That old scientist, breathing heavily on his deathbed, opened his eyes just a little bit with a smile, the tear coming down his cheek, saying, Son, the greatest discovery is Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. What a wonderful discovery. I am awed this morning to know that irregardless of who I am, where I've been, whatever the case may be, God loves me. For God so loved the world. But God commendeth or demonstrated, showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Heavenly Father, the very best I knew how, I tried to portray the love that you've given me and explain it to these dear people. God, I thank you. First of all, God, I want to say thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me when I fall. Thank you for loving me when I'm up. Thank you for loving me in any position, when I'm up or down. Thank you, irregardless, nothing can separate me from your love. God, I love you. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. Give me eternal life. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord Jesus, that needs you. I pray that if there's a lost soul here today, God, that that soul would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and literally see the demonstration of your love to him through your son Jesus. I pray, God, that if there's someone here today, they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, but there's some things, it's kind of broken up the fellowship a little bit. And I pray, dear God, that you would go ahead and do business with that one. Maybe they put the Bible down. Maybe they've gotten discouraged because they've been in some valleys and they just don't know where to turn. They just get discouraged and they're just running away from the very one that can help. I don't know what it is. But I pray, dear God, if that's someone here today, they'll run back to you. Thank you for being here this morning. Choir tonight, 5:10. Love to have you be in your place. And then 6 o'clock will be our evening service. And Brother Ron, would you come up and close in prayer? Thank you, Brother Ron, our youth leader and man of many hats around here. Appreciate him very much. He's going to close in prayer for us. Thank you, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you give us when we get saved, Lord, for giving us your son, giving us your word, Lord, your wisdom, how to lead our lives, Lord. I just thank you for church. Thank you for the fellowship we have here, Lord. Thank you for the love you have for us, Lord. Please keep us safe. Watch over us. Bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.